Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue today to look at the teaching of St. Paul. We'll touch on some of the Gospels as well. Paul is taking us through important chapters in his letter to the Romans. We began yesterday in chapter 4. It was the reading we were given at Mass. And so the readings I'm touching on, I'll maybe expand beyond those, but I'm touching on those that are being presented this week at Mass, the readings of the day. So it began yesterday in chapter 4, where Paul reminds us, here's how he sums up at the end of that chapter, chapter 4, the point he's trying to make to each one of us about Abraham. He said, Abraham was put in right relationship with God. He was justified. He was made just. He was rightly ordered in his relationship to God. God counted something about Abraham's response to him as righteousness. Now, what that means is, and the point Paul's trying to make is that before Abraham was ever circumcised, before he was ever given the law, he was called by God and he was given a promise. And the promise was that God was going to make him the father of a great nation. And so that put Abraham in a difficult position. He was encountering the living God, but what the living God said to him didn't seem to make any sense. Abraham was far too old to sire a child. I mean, he was just beyond the age that's typical, right? And his wife was barren, and she was beyond the childbearing age. I suppose a man can sire a child till much older, but point being, he and his wife were far beyond that stage of their life, the biological capability of them together, you know, bringing a child into the world. And then, of course, at their age, how could they become a father and a mother of a great nation? How long were they even going to be living? So this confounded his mind. And this is one of the things God does with us. And God confounds the mind. A friend of mine used to say, to reveal the heart. Some of the teaching of Jesus, some of the teaching of the church, it's given to us by Jesus and the apostles, confounds the mind today. People find it troubling, and it's outside the boundaries of what they find rational, reasonable, loving, whatever. And so our minds are confounded. What ends up happening, in Abraham's case, his mind was confounded, but what was revealed was his heart. And this is what made him just before God, is he totally trusted God, despite the fact that he couldn't put the math together. He couldn't figure it all out. It didn't make sense to him, but he decided, he made a decision of the will because he knew who he was dealing with to relate to God properly and to give everything to God and to believe the promise. And not only just, as I said yesterday, not only just as a thought in his mind, but he threw everything in, his entire livelihood, his family, his clan, everything he built. He became a nomad of faith. He trusted God. He lived the word. He stepped out into what God said would be his destiny, even though it looked completely irrational. That pleased God. God loves faith. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us, and that's a chapter that recounts the faith of some of the great people like Abraham in the Old Testament. It says, God loves faith. He loves that when his people, those he made, relate to him in a way that he ought to be related to, that he's absolutely good, he never lies, he's all-powerful, can bring about everything that he says, he keeps his word in every way. So Abraham acted on that promise before he ever, again, before he was ever circumcised or was given the law. What's the point? The point is that circumcision didn't make him righteous, nor did the law make him righteous before God. He was made right. He was put in the right relationship with God. He was made just through faith. That's why the scripture says, by grace you have been saved through faith. Paul ended that section. We didn't read some of it because it wasn't in the text yesterday, but part of what I'd like to read today that describes how Paul understood God's joy, you could say, in Abraham and how amazing Abraham's response was when he said yes to God. Verse 19, he said, Abraham did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, no distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God. No distrust made him waver. Friends, there's a lot of wavering going on in the church today, among baptized people. We're being tempted through a great deception to ask the question, is the teaching of Jesus loving? Is the teaching of Jesus reasonable? And people are teetering. Some people are walking away from Jesus. Some people are agreeing with the world that at this moment has had enough of the teaching of Jesus and his church. And they're going to plant their own flag. They're going to say, we're going to declare our own reality. We're going to declare our own truth because we're good. And we judge that this teaching about human nature, about marriage, the meaning of human sexuality, the reality of when life begins and what is human, what's not human, when does a person become a person, who has the right to take away life, who doesn't. There's a lot of distrust that is causing people to waver and to turn from God. Not Abraham. Even when God told Abraham to sacrifice his son. Now that's the craziest thing of all, because he's the son of Sarah. He and Sarah's union, Abraham and Sarah's union, he is the living reality, the first sign of the promise, the fulfillment of the promise. And so all this surrendering and following God and believing in the impossible, and then the impossible actually happens. His aged and barren wife has a child, and then God calls him to sacrifice Isaac. And despite its radical difficulty, he's willing to do it. And he raises the knife, and an angel intervenes. God loved Abraham because Abraham trusted in God's goodness, in God's power, God's faithfulness. Paul goes on, but instead Abraham grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. He gave glory to God, and Jesus talks about this. He gave glory to God out of obedience. Jesus glorified the Father through his obedience to the Father. Jesus said, we'll glorify him and we'll glorify the Father if we obey the commands of Jesus. If we don't obey, we deny God what is rightly his, and that is glory. We were made to glorify God. He goes on to verse 21, he says, Abraham was fully convinced that God was able to do what he'd promised. Are you fully convinced that the promises of God are real and true and they're for you, and that you can take them to the bank and you can bet your whole life on them? Don't hedge your bets with God. Go all in. Don't hold any cards back. Don't hold any of your chips back. Put everything in. That's the way to follow God and to give to God what belongs to God. Radical trust and obedience, surrender, love. That's it. And it was, quote, reckoned to him as righteousness. That's a quote from the Old Testament. But the words "it was reckoned to him" were written not for his sake alone, but for ours, is how I ended yesterday's program. And Paul then makes the analogy. And we, in the liturgy of the church, we call Abraham our father in faith. God has built a family on the promise, on trusting his promises, in covenant love. And a covenant was ratified, you know, through circumcision. It's ratified for us in baptism, being united to Jesus' crucifixion, that covenant act of love that ultimately makes it possible for us to be able to enter into relationship with God the Father by believing, Paul will say here. We exercise faith and we believe that Jesus is God's Son who died for our sins and was raised so that we could be brought into right relationship with God, so we could be a new creation. And so that's the initial act of salvation. That's the when we're first saved, is when we're united to Jesus through faith and baptism. It's not the result of my works. Now, you can't be saved. We're not saved by our works, but we can't be saved apart from our works. Because why? Because faith expresses itself in love. The whole argument in the book, in the letter to James, you know, faith and love are united, are connected together, because real faith expresses itself in real love. Just like Abraham's faith was active. He said yes to God, and then what he did was he ordered his whole life in that direction, and he expressed that love toward, and trust toward the Father. So it's just great, great teaching, and really very helpful for us to understand the importance of the foundation, our actual foundation of a relationship with God. It rests in the radical abandonment of ourselves in trust and faith to God. Now, today's reading from Romans, which I'm going to only be able to touch on for a second here, he says, brothers and sisters, this is chapter 5, through one man sin entered the world, and through sin death, and thus death came to all men, inasmuch as all men have sinned. You know, Paul's saying, where does death come from? Death comes from sin. All men sin, therefore all men die. Jesus came, and the whole reading today was Jesus came to deal with the sin problem, which produces the death problem in the human race. And there's no liberating ourselves for life beyond death on our own resources, by our own work, by our own power. God did it in his son, Jesus. Jesus passed from death to life and brought human flesh through death to life after death, to an existence beyond death, what's called a new creation. So this is what Jesus began for us. He began the new creation, and being baptized into Jesus, surrendering to him in faith, accepting his death on a cross and his resurrection as my future, as the fundamental core of the meaning of my whole life, saying yes to that is what brings us from death to life. And so Paul is saying, again, he's underlying the importance of understanding the work of faith, you might say. Paul uses that terminology. But I want to go on here before the program ends. He says, in conclusion, this is chapter 5, just as through one transgression, condemnation came into the world, through Adam's sin, condemnation, separation came into the world, so through one act of righteousness, acquittal and life came into the world, came to all. Through Jesus' act of obedience to God the Father, his righteous act, his rightly relating his life to God, this perfect sacrifice, it was credited to us as justice, as we're united to the person of Jesus, and we share his life. So in some way, justification for Paul means life. It means being united to a life that will never die, and that's found in Jesus, and that's given to us as a free gift. For just as through the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so through the obedience of one man, the many are made righteous. Where sin increased, grace overflowed all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through justification for eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a mouthful. Where sin increased, okay, it increased in the world, right? Adam's sin, all of us shared in Adam's sin. Then Jesus came, God's gift, grace came. And Jesus broke the reign of sin through his death on the cross. And he gave us, he justified us, he put us in right relationship with God by making us a new creation, by forgiving our sin, taking away the stain of original sin, giving us power, as the St. John said, to become children of God and live under the lordship of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Friends, it's just the most awesome gift possible. Let's continue to walk in it. I hope you can join me tomorrow. God bless you. Have a good day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.